Bibles, please, for our second reading, our Old Testament reading to the book of Numbers, the fourth book of Moses, chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And as the princes of Moab abode, with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt with covert, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again more and more honorable princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night, and he said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass and turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn. either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me." And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor?" And Balaam said unto Balak, "Lo, I am come unto thee. Have now I any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak." And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjath Huzot. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Beloved, this is one of those instances where we must learn to read Scripture in the context of the whole. We might be inclined to give Balaam a bit of a break if we don't read all of what the Bible has to say about Balaam. Number one in this passage, it is a true narrative of what happened. There was a real day in the history of the people of God, a real day with, you know, in which the sun came up and went down like any other day, except for this one thing: a donkey spoke and a prophet answered him. I don't know what's more arresting, what's more of notice, that the donkey spoke or that Balaam entered into a conversation with him. Right? This is true. This is not legend. This is not figment. This is not somebody telling funny stories. Children, a real donkey spoke with a man's voice that day. A real donkey spoke with a real man's voice. The Lord had already opened the eyes of that donkey, of that ass, to see things that even the prophet couldn't see. Did you hear that? That the angel of the Lord with his sword drawn was ready to slay the madness of the prophet himself. Yet it was the donkey that saved his life three times by turning aside from that drawn sword. Finally, then, the Lord opens Balaam's eyes that he might also see. In the New Testament, we learn from Jude 1:11 and 2 Peter 2:15 and 16. That Balaam's true motivation was prophesying for hire. He wanted to take the gift of prophecy that God had obviously given him and bend it to a covetous and carnal end He was a preacher for hire that will tell you what you want to hear and take your money at the same time, if it was up to him. We are not told in the narrative, although I have my opinion, we are not told in the narrative at what point in Balaam's career of prophecy does Balak call upon him. He's a recognized prophet by the time Balak calls upon him. I don't know if that's because of one prophecy or 100 prophecies. We're not told in the narrative. My own opinion is this is very early on in Balaam's career. He's not been exposed as the false prophet, the prophet for hire, that he actually is until this very notice. Why does God go on with him in such a way as he does? Well, we know that the first command that God gave him was don't go with these men. And that should have been enough for him. But it wasn't. Why? Because every time Balaam went back to the Lord and asked if he can go with the men, truly what he was actually asking for is, can I be promoted by Balak by cursing Israel? He knew what the stakes were, yet he goes back to that well time and time again, so that if in some way he might be able to be enriched, even if it's just by, you know, maybe modifying the way we say the true message. Or as the Apostle Paul will say in 2 Corinthians chapters 2, 3, and 4, handling the word of God deceitfully. This is indeed not an option. Let's remember also where the people of God are. We're not left to guess about that, are we? They are in the plains of Moab. This is near the time when they will cross over into the land of promise. This is late in the 40 years of wandering. Yet at the end of this process, they will end up on the top of a mountain called Baal Peor, and they will be worshiping idols and eating the sacrifices of the dead, the psalmist tells us. Because while Balaam was unable to figure out how he might prophesy against Israel and curse them, he was able to figure out how he could get them to curse themselves. And that's what he related to Balak instead. And so we assume at the end of this process then that Balaam went away a rich man because he taught Balak how to set a stumbling block before the people of Israel. That's what the New Testament tells us. So God is not being duplicitous here. God is being singular here. And the singularity comes in the first command to Balaam. Do not go with them. When we have a word from the Lord in Scripture, beloved, it is not good reason to seek out another word. It is rebellion against God. A little bit later on in the book of Numbers and in Deuteronomy, I believe, it may be just one or the other. Sorry, off the top of my head, I can't pull that out. We will see that Balaam will die with the Moabites. We don't find him communing with the people of God. We find his communion with the Moabites. Had he listened when God said, don't go with them, he never would have remained with them. So there are times, beloved, that the Lord will set before us something to show us the weakness of our own hearts. And we want to, when we hear God telling Balaam, go with them, go with them, go with them, we want to hear God saying that in order to reveal to the prophet the weakness of his own heart. Oh, he had a good profession. If Balak would give me all of the silver and gold in his own house, I wouldn't go with you. Really? Is that true, Balaam? Talk is cheap, isn't it? Certainly was for Balaam. And notice how Balaam couches his repentance when he finally sees the angel. He says, Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way. Now, therefore, if what I'm doing displeases you, I'll go back. I don't know how you could find more displeasure than a sword drawn. Rather than saying, I'm going back, on the way back, Balaam says, maybe there's another way. Maybe there's a way you can be pleased with me going to Balak and his company. And so we see the depth of depravity of the human heart, don't we? All for the sake of money. Balaam would pervert the ordinance of the prophet. Well, beloved, let us not be so hard on Balaam as we would be upon ourselves, that we might also remember that we can be turned aside through temporal love, can't we? That's why the people of God are counseled, even in the days of the New Testament, over and again. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lusts thereof. We have here, beloved, no continuing city. We seek one to come. So, Balak was all too ready to offer money. He was concerned about his temporal estate. What would have been the best thing for Balak? To call for Moses. To ask for Moses to come and teach his people, the Moabites, the things of God. Were they not blood relation? Were they not related to them? Had not God said to Israel, you shall not conquer the Moabites, and only until after they came out against them were they attacked and invested by the people of God. So Balak, instead of seeking the Lord to curse Israel, he should have recognized that there is indeed something objective in this world. That God has a people, and He will promote them, and He will save them, and that our best understanding of that is to join ourselves to them rather than asking the Lord to curse them. We've read the end of the book, beloved. Christ wins and we win with Him. If anyone else will win, they have to join us. Right? So, this passage, while it may sound confusing, if we put it in its proper context and understanding, it's really not confusing at all. Every time the Lord says to Balaam, go with them, He's heaping up wrath against the Moabites and against Balaam himself. Although the way He chooses to heap up wrath against Balaam is by giving Balaam an opportunity to repent over and again, which Balaam never does. God's overtures of repentance, beloved, must be undertaken. They do not represent weakness in Him at all. They represent the only way to avoid the judgment to come. That's what they represent. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue.